Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with the Potato Boys. They're three of us. It's a trio. And it's Sam Stein, who's a managing editor, and Will Summer, who has a newsletter called False Flag that I've needed a little more frequency from lately. I get, you know, Will's allowed some time off, but I could double it. I could do four a week. The latest is headline this: Trump gets the 2020 election loon gang together. So I want to talk about that. I also want to just tease everybody. We will talk about Nancy Mace as well. The 2020 election loon gang is back together. Why don't you just get us up to speed, Will?
Yeah. So, you know, last week the FBI raided the Fulton County, Georgia, you know, the ballot storage facility, essentially. And I think we're starting to see, we don't know a lot about the official motivation of this raid, but I think we're seeing a lot of the kind of the old conspiracy theories come back. And so that's what I dipped into here. Obviously, Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, was on the scene. And it sort of seems that she has been tasked with sort of being like the chief election kook. Like, she's going to pull all the disparate strands together and make a report Republicans can use to crack down on the midterms. So I think there's a lot of crazy stuff flying around, and that's what I was looking into.
Will, what of all the crazy, like, 2020 election conspiracies?
Well, I support the one I believe is the claim made by a fellow who's a rogue falconer. Who basically, he was like a globetrotting falconer, kind of mixed up in the smuggling lifestyle, the falcon smuggling. They call it feathered cocaine, for those who don't know. But basically, he claimed he had Al-Qaeda contacts because of the falcon trade in the Emirates. And basically, he was like, well, they didn't really kill bin Laden. That was like a fake thing. But also, I found out as kind of part of this, that the election was stolen, and Trump was like, wow, this guy is a genius. This guy, I should say, is named Alan Parrott. And I think he's like white guy
who became a Sikh, and
so he had like
Parrott?
A turban. That's right. And so Trump got really into this, and it alienated a lot of his like Navy SEAL guys who claimed to have killed bin Laden. It was a big mess. That's my favorite. But the one in play here, I think the key ones
are Italian satellites.
Yes, Italian
that
satellites.
I thought it was the Venezuela one that was in play here.
There's two. Okay. So this is, Trump's got to figure out who's going to be prosecuted, what the theory is. So on one hand, Sidney Powell, who we remember getting fired from Trump's legal team for being too crazy for them, she's kind of back in the mix. She seems to maybe have known this raid was coming. She was saying on a podcast, there's going to be some big action in a few days. And she is a big
That was,
proponent.
I thought, the most interesting thing in your newsletter, that she had a tip. She had a hot lead, Sidney Powell. Who got kicked out of the?
She was
the
too hot.
Kook Brigade for being too kooky. Tucker Carlson, who now believes Hitler was the good guy in World War II and is flirting with flat earthism. He looked at Sidney Powell and he was like, "A little too out there for me. Okay, a little too out there for my taste."
Go back to the Italian computer.
Trump
thing.
Posted on True Social this idea that the Italian government teamed up with the deep state in China to use satellites to steal the election. And how did they do it? Well, they did it with the help of an evil CIA supercomputer that has kind of gone rogue. It's like its own thing now. It's Skynet, named Hammer and Scorecard. And it's doing, you know, it's pulling the strings all over. And this is something Trump embraced, you know, years ago. And now it's back in action. Hopefully we can bring Hammer and Scorecard to justice.
I have a question here about all this stuff, because it doesn't make sense. I just got to be honest. If Venezuela is trying If Venezuela is trying to influence the vote, if Hugo Chavez or Maduro are like using Dominion software to influence the vote, and they go first, and then the Italian supercomputers come on board and influence the influenced vote, couldn't it rebound? Like, how do you?
They say flip it once, flip it again.
Yeah, are they worried that the Italians undid all the stuff that the Venezuelans did, and like it got back? And I mean,
I think you're looking at this the wrong way.
Oh, really?
Sam. This isn't a situation where all theories are coming into fruition. It's kind of like an episode of SVU. You know, like you want to look under every rock. Like, you know that there's a criminal here. And so it's like, oh, you think it might be the teacher because he was acting a little weird in class, but it turns out he's just kind of a perv, you know? Maybe that's the Venezuelans, you know? And then you go, oh, it's the stepdad. The drunk stepdad, it turns out, was him, you know, maybe that's the Italians. I don't think it could be both. I think it's one of
In
the
that
other.
Vein, whatever happened to the Overstock guy who was also part of that gang?
Patrick Byrne.
Is he dead?
So no, he's still on the loose. He's been tweeting a lot about how he's been tweeting a lot lately about how much he doesn't like Jews. Oh, but I was just like, oh, this is kind of a new angle for you, Patrick.
God damn it.
but he's in the Venezuela camp. He thinks Venezuela did it.
Okay.
Really?
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's from Overstock.com. People, be careful on Overstock.com. You never know what you might actually get some of that feather cocaine when you're ordering an old couch.
Wait, one last thing. RFK Jr.
No, we're not done yet. I got
RFK Jr. is a Falconer. We know this because he talks a lot about it. Has he had any association with this? What were they called?
The feather cocaine. That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe he might know all the stuff he knows about how the world really operates, because it kind of seems like these Falcon networks, they have a lot of intel.
If you have any concern as somebody, as a listener who just, you know, maybe has a little bit of doubts that maybe 2020 was stolen, I just want to calm you. Because Carrie Lake did weigh in as well, as you mentioned in the newsletter, and she wrote, "You are fucked," to the Fulton County Election Commissioner. She's a government official still for the USA Agency on Global Media. "You are fucked," she said to the Fulton County. And this is like the reverse Jim Cramer situation. Like, if Carrie Lake says you're fucked, you are actually in the clear. Nothing to worry about. So that's encouraging. And speaking of people that have fallen on hard times, Eagle Ed Martin, seems like he's been demoted. He might be on the way out there. He was pictured with Sidney Powell. I thought maybe he was conceivably on the rise as part of this 2020, election conspiracy stuff, since he's on board with that. But he got kind of demoted to a pardon attorney, I guess, and then maybe fully out. I don't know. What have you heard about
that? I was surprised by that, because he was deputized to be in charge of all the political vendettas, right? And then he'd been doing the...
Well, Trump had a meeting this week. I believe this is a CNN report. Apologies to who I forget who I'm shouting it out.
Who's CNN?
Credit, but CNN. Yeah, they had a meeting this week about the weaponization of government, how they want to weaponize it more, and how they're not weaponizing it enough. And so maybe during that meeting, they thought that Ed hadn't really nailed it.
Yeah, it's a weird one, because he'd been like, it was his moment. He'd been doing the pardon stuff for a while now. But apparently, Todd Blanche really hates the guy and pushed him out. But I don't know anything other than that. But it's odd timing-wise, because they're supposed to be ramping up, and then this guy just kind of disappears. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know, because he can be such a moron.
I feel like it's a bad thing in a way, because I think it's a sign that, and this is just speculation on my part, but it seems like maybe they're like, hey, Ed, you're making this a little obvious what we're up to, and you're giving too many clues. Like, a lot of people, including me, really keyed in on that picture with Sidney Powell. And as soon as Sidney Powell gets pulled in, you do that the day after the raid, people are like, oh, this is insane, right? I mean, I did a whole newsletter about it. Like, and so there needs to be this kind of veneer of respectability. And so, Ed, you need to stop, like, kind of posting pictures with Alex Jones or whatever. So I think that may be what
Todd
happened
Blanche
here.
Is like, you're tweeting. Are you tweeting a criminal conspiracy, Ed Martin? You know, you're not supposed to be tweeting a criminal
conspiracy.
What
was the time where he tweeted the first, like, singular letters? I forget this one. And then he had to, like,
Pipe Bomber.
Oh, yeah.
Pipe Bomber. Because he got on board with the Blaze's bogus story about the Pipe Bomber being a Capitol Police officer. And he was like, Pipe Bomb?
And he had to tweets. But he didn't take down every letter. He, like, left, like, the P and the E up. So stupid.
The other thing I'd point out here is Todd Blanche is kind of being set up once again as like the guy who won't give MAGA the candy, that won't do the arrest, that won't like do a DOJ raid on the Colorado jail where Tina Peters is held on election denial charges. So the sort of the Ed Martin set, the people who really want to see like Hillary Clinton in prison, they are furious over this and this idea that once again Todd Blanche has stolen it away from them.
I think they're ever going to realize that nobody's going to prison.
You see Todd Blanche tonight talking about the Epstein people not going to prison?
Some of these men may have done horrible things, and if we have evidence that allows us to prosecute them, you better believe we will. But it's also the kind of thing that the American people need to understand, that it isn't a crime to party with Mr. Epstein.
Yeah, he's like, nothing illegal about going to a party on Pedo Island.
Can't rescue that.
Sorry for partying.
Ain't no crime partying with Jeffrey Epstein. Come on now.
You know, they're still kind of casting around for the right message there.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by ZocDoc. We all know health issues don't follow a 9-to-5 schedule. With ZocDoc, having no time to book a doctor's appointment is actually no problem at all. So let's say you don't have time for yourself until 11 p.m. or cut your finger making a midnight snack, or you tweak your back on the dance floor at a family wedding, or you doom scroll and panic about your symptoms at 3 a.m. Been there. Or you binge watch a medical drama and you unlock a new health fear. Definitely been there. Go to ZocDoc anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and find a doctor you love to make your health plan happen. Yep, even if it's way after hours. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone you love. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the other 200-plus specialists offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or by symptom to build the care team that's right for you. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes to find and instantly book a doctor that you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message.
Okay, let's move on to our girl, Nancy Mace. How does that sound?
Yeah.
New York Magazine did a big piece on her, the fake news there, Jake LaHut, good dude. She tried to preempt it with a selfie video. That's never a good
sign. Do people
understand
how stupid that is as a tactic? You're just drawing attention to yourself. It's the Streisand effect. It's dumb.
You're like everything. Jake LaHut is thrilled. He's like, oh, wait, now everybody knows I got a big Nancy Mace article coming tomorrow. So among the things, I mean, she's lost her mind. And there's some of this stuff where we're treading a little bit of old ground. Like, everyone that has ever worked for her hates her. One of my favorite quotes in the story was from, like, her most recent, I forget if it's consultant or chief of staff. And he's like, so I left and have concerns for Nancy and think that she'd be better as a private citizen. And you should take me at my word because I don't hate her like everyone else.
Yeah, that was the best quote.
She's like, I'm not like all these other people, you know, who have Mace derangement syndrome. Okay. I like her. I just think that she probably would do better in a padded room somewhere. Among the anecdotes, my favorite one was something she has in common with Sam Stein. She was forcing staffers to upvote Reddit posts about who the hottest member of Congress was, if it was her. And so staffers had to create fake accounts, go in, upvote it. If it said Nancy Mace, downvote AOC to try to push her up the rankings on the hottest members of Congress. And Sam actually did this as well on a Mediaite survey of hottest managing editors. You're making the staff do that for you.
It was actually The Hill back in the day. Remember The Hottest on The Hill? Do you remember that?
I voted in that. Yeah.
You wrote those? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Did you ever vote for Sam?
No, well, I voted. I voted because they would put everyone's hot picture out, and then you would go around and cast your votes for who was the hottest.
God. It's
Staffers also had to, it wasn't just the upvoting. Staffers were told to comment where needed as well.
Mean?
You know, I don't know. Say, throw a little note in there. Like,
hubba, hubba.
Nice jug, boss. I don't know.
Can you imagine being a staffer? Was. Like, you're like kind of idealistic. You're going to work on the Hill. Your chief of staff comes in when they're like, yo, I need you to create a burner Reddit account. Just put some comments about how hot the boss is, please. What am I doing here?
She also, this is a quote a former staffer said, when I worked for her, our poor scheduler was getting calls at 2 in the morning to come bring her bottles of tequila.
And?
To keep the party going is how Jake
it's not a crime to party with Nancy Mace, folks. It's not a crime.
2 in the morning?
No, this is...
I'll be serious.
Can I be serious about this? I read this.
I like to party.
I read this.
But if you need tequila at 2 in the morning, you got to procure it yourself.
So I read this and I had a good chuckle with the Reddit stuff, for sure. And the tequila stuff was wild. But like... I left feeling like a sense of sorrow for this woman. She obviously needs help. I do feel bad for her. It seems like she was triggered or really affected, obviously, by what happened to her in her personal life that she then brought to the floor, accusations of rape. And Will and I were talking about it a little bit.
The fact that she's doing dick checks on the House floor, yeah, that doesn't temper your sorrow.
No,
at all.
That doesn't. But she was like posting like pictures of herself naked and stuff. It was like there's many layers of psychosis here. And Will and I were talking a little bit before we came on. And I think the conclusion is she just shouldn't be. I mean, this is not my conclusion. It's her staff's conclusion. She shouldn't be in public life anymore. She should just like try to find something that's more fulfilling and calmer. I do feel bad, though. I really do.
I don't know. She looked like she was happy in that one viral video that was going around where there were like six people, and there were like six people, and they're like at a house party, and they're like doing shots.
Oh yeah, but that
was
really her life.
She like kissed that girl. She kissed the other woman. Like they looked like they were having a good time. Just maybe do that. Go to Sullivan's Island. Go to house parties.
Yeah.
I watch Southern Charm. She could join that crew. You know, they're having fun in South Carolina.
Some trash TV, buddy. You love the Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. You like all that crap.
That's how I keep my finger on the pulse.
I think she's a little too mean for me to feel sorry for.
That's fair.
I don't feel sorry for. The thing that I feel sorry about is it seems like her governor's campaign is going down the toilet. And I was sort of thinking the people of South Carolina, they might need Nancy Mace to be their governor for a few years just to kind of sort of wash things out of their system a little bit. I mean, they've voted for Trump 3 times. They put in, you know, Henry McMaster. Maybe they should kind of just get one of their own a little bit and see how that goes. And Louisiana, I'm tired of us having the most embarrassing.
Is the
governor.
Current measles outbreak not enough? Is that you want to inflict more on the good state of South Carolina?
I would like to afflict a little bit more. All right. Well, nothing else from you there on Nancy Mace, Will? Anything you're seeing out there? Any buzz?
I mean, you know, she's very active on Twitter. I mean, you know, it is striking this article how she's, you know, and this has been reported before, but that she wanted just like, you know, I need to be on national TV 3 times a week or 3 times a day, you know, and I need to be in local Carolina news constantly as well. And I mean, look, she understands the content grind, but I think perhaps it is not redounded to her benefit here.
Should I invite her on the pod, we think?
That's a good question.
No. I'm sure she'd come on in a second.
I don't know what yeah,
we'll talk about that offline. Let's pray on it. Feedback. Let us know in the comments. What do you think? Should I invite Nancy Mace on? We'll see. Okay, 2 other things really fast. James Fishback, you've written about him. Long shot candidate, we should just be honest, for the governor of Florida. Byron Donalds, I guess, is the main candidate there. He's done some, you've written about him. He's done some racist jokes about Byron Donalds, made some allusions about how he would be Mussolini-esque, some pretty serious accusations about him with younger women, relationships with young women, even girls. He posted this today. I've joined Tinder to meet young female voters where they are and share my plan to make it easier for them to get married, buy a home, raise a family. Young female voters, that has a creepy ring for me.
You know, it's interesting because Fishback is very open about he has this woman he claims is his girlfriend. They go to all these events together. He kind of is portraying her as like the future first lady of Florida. And this has been enraging Laura Loomer, the right-wing activist, because she hates James Fishback because he is anti-Israel. And so she dug up his girlfriend's background, and it is, you know, a lot of like, I would say risque photo shoots. Some photo shoots, according to Loomer, she was deep into the Bitcoin NFT scene. Some photo shoots with like guys in like Eyes Wide Shut masks and stuff, which given Fishback's kind of like Epstein style allegations, you know, it's getting very complex here. So I don't know if the girlfriend's being pushed out and now it's all about Tinder or what's going on, but his love life has loomed large in this campaign.
Sam, do you have any thoughts on the James Fishback campaign?
If ever there was an appropriate use for the let them fight meme, it's like Loomer Fishback right now. Let him go. Just have at it. I thought he was big with the Groypers, but he's not, or is he?
Well, no. That's his claim to fame. Is he's kind of like the Groyper Nick Fuente style?
Yeah, Loomer's don't mix her up. You have to understand.
I'm saying
the dynamics.
Maybe I'm wrong, but
Loomer is not a Groyper.
No. I'm saying, doesn't that complicate him with the women? Like, aren't Groypers supposed to be abstinent in some respect? Or am I crazy?
Great point, Sam. Thank you. Nick Fuentes has said, he said that typically, you know, being with women is gay, that he's an incel. But more recently, he started to say he's looking for the cutest groypette. And so now I think possibly maybe groypers are going to be allowed to drop their vow of chastity and look for love.
That's really powerful stuff. I'm moved by it.
All right, final topic. We make fun on here. We tease and mock some of the right wing conspiracy mongering, and I think it's important to do that since it has infected the highest levels of our government. But it's also okay to look at ourselves at times. And I got to tell you. I was reading this post today by Heather C_77, Christian patriot, OG Anon, and great, 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 great granddaughter of Revolutionary War soldier who crossed the Delaware with George Washington. And they're going through the Epstein files, and they have discovered that one of the people that flagged that there was something weird happening at the prison was Roberto Grijalva, who's working there as a correctional officer. And according, I guess, to a subpoena that came through Jeffrey Berman, you could see his identity. He was one of the people that posted this 4chan post. In the 4chan post, he essentially claims that there was a lot of unusual activity around Epstein's cell and that there was a truck of some kind that came in and that Epstein got snuck out. And that the person that got killed was a Epstein double, body double of some kind. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking, I'm interested. I'd like to learn more. It has 13.1 million views, so I'm not the only one. And is it possible that Epstein's still alive? I guess that's my final question for you guys.
No, I'm not touching that. I'm not going to talk about it.
Here's what I'll say. I mean, I don't think he killed himself. You know, I think he was at least given the opportunity to. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions out there. And so, you know, whatever you're putting out there, Tim, I'm cool with
guys.
I also think that there's a lot of unanswered questions out there. And can I just throw it to you, Victor? Can I throw you this post by Victor? It's @someoneyouknow_. He goes, this is a crazy find. After some search, I discovered what's probably the second biggest find. The dead body's nose does not match Jeffrey Epstein's
Wait,
nose.
Victor, this is the @someoneyouknow, Victor? Well, that changes things. Yeah. I mean, that guy's unimpeachable. I will suggest after we finish this that we edit this out in postscript because this is insane. You guys need to chill out. And there's also stuff in the files from, I believe, the prison guard saying that he was like talking to Epstein, trying to like tell him not to kill himself because it seemed like he might. So let's tamp it down a little bit.
It cuts both ways. I'm not making any claims. Okay. I don't want to be fact checked by YouTube. All I'm saying is that I've been reading a lot of material about the Epstein situation at the prison. And I just was intrigued by, I mean, you know, she was an OG Anon.
Oh, that's not nothing. Well, what were the numbers? Sorry, what were the numbers in her hand? Was it 77?
77.
There's something to that. Now that you mentioned it. Yeah, 77.
John Elway. Okay, gentlemen, that's the latest by popular demand, the Potato Posse, three of us.
Appreciate it.
And we're still working on it. We'll see y'all soon. Subscribe to the feed.